I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Hey, everyone. It's Arden Walentowski from Let's Get Civical. We're still on our holiday break, but we are sharing one of our favorite episodes from 2023, the episode on the Sultana disaster. So we hope you enjoy it again this time around, and we will see you in 2024. Happy holidays. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Let's Get Civical.
This is the podcast that breaks down politics, government structure, and dives into the context of current events, but in a super fun way. I'm Lizzie Stewart, comedian, feminist, and political junkie.
And I am Arden Walentowski, former Senate intern, campaign staffer, and political strategist.
In this episode, we are talking about the Sultana disaster.
So grab your long johns.
And let's get civical. Everybody.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome back to Let's Get Civical. I am Lizzie Stewart.
And I am Arden Walentowski.
And I have no idea what we're talking about today.
No,
another
you do not.
Surprise. Another yes. Surprise for me. Mm-hmm. I love when this happens. I feel like our trend for this year has been natural disasters and surprising me with episodes. So, loving this trend.
We're going strong. We're going strong.
So, my question is about the topic of today.
Sure.
Is it something that happened this today in history? Or is it something that you know I'm just really passionate about?
Oh.
Or both?
I do believe it's both.
Wow. Wow. Mm-hmm. What's even going on? I have no idea historically what's going on in the world.
I have to say that when I did my little searchy to see like what happened this month in history that we could kind of tackle, we could look at, maybe there's a bill that was passed, a court case that happened, like, what could it be? And I saw this and I was like, literally? This is it, and
this is it.
I've never heard of this, and it is bonkers. It is bananas.
Oh, my God.
It's old.
We love when they're old.
And I just, it is a sin that this, the thing that we are going to talk about today, is, I guarantee you, something neither of us have ever heard of. And it's okay. Shocking.
Okay.
And the reason I didn't send it to you ahead of time is because I wanted the reaction. Because if you've heard of it and I haven't, that's like A, totally fine. But B,
it's you're wild. You can't even read.
No, but like, I think if you know about this, this thing that we're going to talk about, it's probably, there are probably like 0.2, not even, 0.0002% of Americans who would have heard about it. And if you're one of those, I mean, it's like we should play the lottery.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Okay, send it to me.
Okay,
here we Without go. Further ado, let's find out if I, and also you, listener, are part of the 0.002% of Americans who have heard of this episode topic that Arden has deemed very exciting for me. I don't know what it is. Is it a shipwreck?
It is a shipwreck.
It's a shipwreck.
I found you a shipwreck.
You found me a shipwreck. You found me a shipwreck.
I did.
Wow.
It's insane. And as we tell the story, you're going to be like, how the fudging flip fuck did I not know about this?
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So today, everybody, we're talking about the Sultana disaster, which all I know at the top of this is that it is a shipwreck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so excited, not for shipwrecks in general, because obviously there's devastation, but God, we are in our shipwreck era.
Yes, we are. We are in our natural disaster shipwreck era. We are living it up.
Wow. Mm. Okay. I don't think there's anything more to say.
No,
than I think to just tell me about all of these sources that you have given us today. This is really something.
It's really something. So, I mean, first and foremost, there's a place called the Lincoln Memorial Shrine, and 100%, absolutely, I'm glad it exists. It's all about Lincoln, things that happened during Lincoln's time.
Sure.
A lot of the information for this episode came from there. But I love it literally because it's called Lincoln Memorial Shrine.
Where do you know, is it like an actual shrine? Or is
it's like an actual...
Is it a place you can go and pay homage?
They call it... That's the name of it. But it is a museum.
It's a museum. Okay.
It's a museum.
Where?
And also a research center. It's a Civil War museum and research center. And it is located in California, of all places.
Okay, perfect. And that's where I would put it too.
Exactly.
A place that was not a state when we were there.
A place Lincoln never went to.
Actually, was it a state when Lincoln was president? No. Was it?
Oh, God. I don't know.
You know what, guys? I'm going to be wrong. I'm going to be right. It doesn't matter. I feel like it could go either way.
It could go either way.
So the point is, Lincoln did not step foot on California soil. And that's... And I would say neither did the Civil War.
I would venture to guess neither did the Civil War, but you know what? Who are we? To pick and choose who are we? Period, question mark, exclamation point. To and pick and choose that. Which state gets to have a shrine to Lincoln that is also a research center? I mean, come on.
Oh my God. I'm delighted. I'm delighted that the Lincoln Memorial Shrine Museum and Research Center exists. So shout out to them. Thank you for all of your help in this episode.
So next up is Mississippi History Now, which is a publication from the Mississippi Historical Society and the Mississippi Department of Archives and History.
Love Mississippi. M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
They were excellent. So good. And then an article from like a local news publication called The Daily Times. And the article is by a guy named Dean Stone. It's
Love.
A Tennessee publication, I believe.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm so excited to talk about this.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Great sources. Great vibes. Let's dive in. So I bet you, listener, are asking yourself, what happened to cause this Sultana disaster. And let's talk about it. So, launched in January of 1863, the SS Sultana was considered one of the most modern vessels of its era, with a legal capacity of 376 passengers, including crew. So it's a smaller vessel, but this is what? Civil War. So ships are smaller. We're not doing luxury liners at this
point. No, this is like a river transport.
Love it.
Boat. And let's just keep in mind the number of passengers she was supposed to have, maximum 376. Including crew.
Okay. Pinning the number 376. Upon the release of Union prisoners of war in the spring of 1865, steamships were paid to ferry passengers from southern ports on the Mississippi to the north. Eager to collect the $5 per soldier and $10 per officer fare authorized by the government, the Sultana's captain, J. Cass Mason, dangerously overloaded his boat in late April 1865. I can smell where this is going.
Smell what's happening? Yes.
It had already had about 180 private passengers and crew on board. But by the time more than 2,000 parole prisoners, their Union Army guards, a few Confederate soldiers headed home, and members of the U.S. Sanitary Commission boarded, the boat left Vicksburg with about 2,400 people on board, which, if you want to do the quick math, I'll tell you, is more than six times its capacity.
Yes.
So just to quickly recap, the legal capacity of this ship is, all in, every soul on board, 376. And Captain J. Cass Mason is like, you know what? We're going to do 2,400. We're going to add an additional 2,000 to that 376 number.
Because I'm going to make my money. $5 per soldier, $10 per officer.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Not willing to risk losing this lucrative government contract, Mason ignored an engineer's recommendation that a boiler needed a major repair, opting instead for a quick patch. I am smelling human error left and right.
All over there. I mean, literally, this is a disaster. It's just human error. There's no like, oh, this, and if they hadn't blown up the fire, if there hadn't been an earthquake, no.
Sure.
It's all human error.
It's all on Captain Mason.
Mm-hmm.
The overcrowded Sultana left Vicksburg, traveling upriver to Memphis, Tennessee. Because the snow had melted in the north, the river was flooded, and the boat struggled against the currents with its heavy load. Mother Nature is against us.
Against us.
The Mississippi is at capacity with how much water and current she's got going on. And this little rootin' tootin' Sultana that has a boiler that is going to quit is testing its patience.
Testing its patience. She does not want her.
For 2 days, the Sultana made slow but steady progress, straining upstream against the rain-swollen Mississippi. At 2 a.m., on the morning of April 27th, the patched boiler exploded with a mighty roar. An estimated 400 passengers were killed instantly by the explosion or scalding steam. That is so many people.
It's so many people in a moment.
To just be dead.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Off the bat.
It's not a big ship.
Right.
Right. It's not a big ship.
The capacity is literally the amount of people who just died from this boiler exploding.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The wooden vessel, because of course it's wood, this is 1865, burst into flames and soon became a raging inferno. panicked soldiers and civilians tore off any piece of wood from the steamboat that could be used as a flotation device and jumped overboard. Eventually, the screams stopped as the Sultana burned to the waterline and sank. I'm curious how deep the Mississippi is. Like, obviously, this isn't as bad as, like, open ocean. Are we going to talk about it?
So we don't talk about how deep the ocean is, but if you're thinking about where the boat ended up, that we will talk about.
Okay.
Because it's also fucking wild.
Okay. Yeah. I'm more thinking of, like, if I'm a passenger and I make it to the water on a flotation device, like, it's not like a Titanic situation where that in itself will probably kill you, you know?
Right. Wait, now I'm curious. How deep is the Mississippi
River? How deep is the Mississippi? Tell me.
Max depth from its source, Lake Itasca, to its end in the Gulf of Mexico, the Mississippi drops 1,475 feet. The deepest point on the Mississippi River is located near Algiers Point in New Orleans and is about 200 feet deep.
Okay. So that's not, I mean, it's deep.
It's deep.
But it's not like...
It's not ocean deep.
It's not the ocean deep.
No.
And I guess it's not frigid. Because it's like...
We're going to talk about it. It is quite cold.
It is cold. Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we're set. Like, that's the scene, right? Like, it doesn't take a genius to realize whose fault this is. Literally at every turn, Captain Mason done fucked this up.
He did real bad. He did real bad too.
If you thought the Titanic captain was bad, this is two thumbs
way down. It's so obviously selfish.
Yeah. Because does anybody else profit from this money of getting soldiers? I wonder. I know. I doubt we know, but I wonder.
Yeah, I don't. That did not come up in my research.
Sure.
But,
I mean, we're splitting hairs.
Because I don't know if it was part of, like, you know, like the White Star Line had, like, it was a big operation, lots of people involved. Mm-hmm. This sounds like this guy, like, ran the ship or, like, owned the ship.
Yeah. Was trying like, days where, like, the captain of the ship owned the ship?
Right.
Questions.
Okay. Questions for which we might never find answers.
But it doesn't really matter when 400, I'm sure probably more, 400 at minimum are dead.
Dead.
And we just started sinking.
Yeah. Dead from the explosion. We haven't even gotten to the rest of it.
Okay. Carry on.
So let's talk about who was on board the ship.
Sure.
Almost all were Union soldiers who had survived the battlefields only to be captured by Confederate troops and sent to prison camps in Alabama, Georgia, and Mississippi. Most of the soldiers were young, including some who were only 14 years old. Mm. Boys could enlist usually as musicians with their parents' permission, but some enlisted as soldiers by lying about their age. So most of these people are soldiers in some way, shape, or form. Most of them are Union.
Like young men.
Mm-hmm. Young dudes, kids, some of them. Some of them are officers.
God, imagine surviving like Gettysburg and then it's the Sultana that brings you down. Good God.
Many of the soldiers on the boat had already been injured in battle by the time they reached the prison camps, and their situation soon got worse.
Sure.
The Confederate prison camps were dirty, disease-ridden places, and food and medicine were in short supply. This is true of prison camps on both sides, but life in southern camps got considerably worse towards the end of the war when the Confederacy was having trouble feeding and caring for its own soldiers and citizens because they had no money because they were losing the war.
Correct.
So if you can't feed your own citizens, air quote, then you certainly are not going to feed your prisoners. So all these people are like injured, sick, malnourished. I cut out a whole bunch of stuff about how a lot of them like didn't even make it because they had to like walk to get here.
Oh, God.
Like it was a huge journey. By the spring of 1865, however, the war was close to its end, and the opposing armies agreed that it was time to release their prisoners and send them home. Sure.
Totally fair. Yes.
Go home. The war is over. After the prisoners were released, they had a hard time making their way across the South to Vicksburg, where they had been told steamships would carry them to their homes in the north. Traveling north from Vicksburg on the Mississippi River, boats could reach the Missouri, Ohio, and Tennessee rivers, and from there, the towns of the American Midwest, where the soldiers had come from.
Gosh.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine? It's like it's the interstate of the 18 Hominishas.
Well, it's just, yeah, it's rivers. I-95 is the Mississippi River.
Right. Like, I can't even imagine being like, I gotta hop on the Mississippi to the Tennessee so that I can get to my home in Indiana.
It's so much effort to get from point. I'm like, just set up shop wherever stay you home. Are.
Just stay home.
Make a new life.
Uh-huh. But to get to the Mississippi River at Vicksburg, the soldiers had to travel by boat, by train, and on foot. And because they were so weak from their war and prison experiences, some of them died along the way.
Yikes.
Making matters worse, some of the trains derailed due to the damaged railroad tracks. Many of the railroads had been destroyed by the war.
Everything is not functional.
Nothing is functional.
And that's fair. It's like we are truly like the curtain has just come down.
Mm-hmm.
Or is like descending on the Civil War. Everything's fucked up. Nothing is functional.
No.
In the South. And probably in the North, too. I mean, good.
Yeah, no, it's all a mess. It's all a mess.
This probably, there's a lot of time periods where I'm like, not for me. This is top five.
Oh, yeah. I do not want to. I'm so glad I have, if I, in another life, lived in this time period, I'm glad I have no memory of it.
Sure.
Because this sounds not fun.
Not fun.
You're just dying all the time from various sicknesses that, like, if you had a pill, would be gone in a day. Or, you know, an orange.
Like, the war.
The war.
Oh, God. And it's like, like hygiene isn't there yet. It's
yeah, just, no.
No, thank you. Two thumbs way down.
Way down, way down. The soldiers were given clean clothes and food at Camp Fisk, a neutral holding pen for prisoners of war. While arrangements were being made to transport them north on the Mississippi River, they stayed in the camps outside Vicksburg without tents or even blankets, and many got sick while they were waiting to board a steamer. So they've made it there. They're literally sitting outside and they're like, oh my God, where the fuck is this goddamn boat? This is what's going to kill me.
Waiting for the steamer is what's going to kill me.
It's going to kill me. One reason for the boarding delay, one reason these sick soldiers were waiting is that, like Lizzie said, the owners of the steamboats were competing to see who could arrange for the most freed prisoners on their boats. So they're like in a pissing contest to see how many soldiers they can each get on their boats so that they can make the most money transporting these soldiers, even though it's like, even if you knew nothing about boating, it's stupid. Like, you know how many people you can fit on your boat.
It's dumb. And meanwhile, the soldiers are like bleeding out on the ground while they're having this discussion.
They're like, please, just load me on the steamer.
Please, let's set sail. Okay, let's talk about, or let's dive further into this disaster. So the explosion happens, inferno. Those who did not die sort of immediately on impact found themselves flying through the air, not knowing what had happened. 1 minute they had been sleeping, and the next they found themselves struggling to swim in the very cold, again, there's snow, Mississippi River. Other passengers burned on the boat. The fortunate ones clung to debris in the river or to, horses and mules that had escaped the boat hoping to make it to shore, which they could not see because it was dark and the flooded river was at that point almost 5 miles wide. So you mean to tell me that on top of 2,400 human souls, we also got horses and mules?
Horses and mules. There's We're over capacity on the humans. But we didn't even really talk about the cargo. Like, this dude also has cargo, which includes animals. Like,
to draw a comparison, the Titanic, this is like the Titanic's capacity.
Oh my God, literally, there's a note about it later.
Oh, I'm a genius. Okay.
Die. No, but that's, I mean, but that's crazy. It's a genius. Yeah, it's insane.
Most of the passengers who survived did so by floating on pieces of the boat until they made it to shore or could be rescued. One man survived by floating almost 10 miles on the back of a dead mule. Another survivor recalled that there was at least one person clinging to every tree along the flooded banks of the river. All of them were very cold, and some sang songs to keep their minds off the trouble. Oh my goodness.
They're like clinging to trees, singing like Yankee Doodle.
And free, free falling. Oh man.
Oh my God. It just, could you, like, I just have images of like the guy on the dead mule floating down the river, like being serenaded by all of the people clinging to the trees, singing like Old Man River. I don't think that song's that old, but like, you know what I mean? Like
old a song. Old MacDonald had a farm. It's like, shut up.
Skip.
Literally, let me make this very clear. If I'm in a shipwreck, God help me, and I'm in the process of surviving, which you know I will.
Of course.
And if somebody in that moment chooses to break out into song, I'll kill him. I'm like, the Sultana didn't get you, but the Lizzie did.
The Lizzie did.
You're dead. The fuck you singing to me for? We don't need this right now. Yeah. Like, don't take your mind off of the fact that you are in a crisis, because you need to have your head in the game.
Yeah.
When you get your head out of the game of survival, that's when mistakes happen. That's when an alligator sneaks up on you. You don't see it because you're too busy singing, you know, oh, baby, how was I supposed to know? That you don't see the alligator, and then it eats you. And now who's dead?
Who's singing now?
Keep your head in the game. Mm-hmm. If you are in a crisis and you have to survive, keep your head in the game.
That's a bumper sticker.
So we have some people singing on the sides of the river, just holding on for dear life, just singing their songs. I think even worse, other survivors, the ones who are not singing, mimicked the sounds of birds and frogs. What? This isn't a game of charades. Like, just...
Ca-caw.
Just sit there. Robert, talk amongst yourselves.
This is true. Like, you would think if you could hear the other people, you would be like...
Yeah. Hey, Bill, where are you from?
Is that you?
Does anybody have a pocket knife that could be useful?
Right.
Like, how about we figure out how to get, I don't know, off of these trees? Does anybody know this river? Do we have, you know, a doctor in the house? Like, meanwhile, they're like,
ribbit.
Yikes.
Yep.
Word of the disaster reached Memphis when a passenger, who was a teenage boy, floated up to the waterfront and told the sentries what had happened. Mister! They're all up the river.
This is how they got news of this explosion. This boy floated into town.
Sure.
Literally floated into town and was like, big explosion! Big quickly. Explosion.
They won't stop singing. You gotta help me. In the early morning hours of April 27th, 1865, as word of the disaster spread, numerous boats began to assist in the rescue, and the survivors were sent to hospitals in Memphis. Many were naked by the time they were rescued, having shed their clothes to make it easier to swim.
What was the...
It's an image. It's not even like the naked thing. I'm just like the last... I am not a nature girl. Like, we know this. I don't present... I don't pretend to be like nature forward. I don't have a ton of survival skills, just like on hand. But even I know that I would never want my entire tip-to-toe body exposed to the elements of the Mississippi River in 1865. After potentially being injured or wounded or burned or whatever.
God. Yeah.
The last thing I would do is be like, you know what? You know what my body needs? More potential for harm. Let's take off these pants.
Let's take off these pants. When I read that, when I was doing the notes and read that, I was like, huh, I guess it makes sense because the clothes would weigh you down, especially potentially, you know, clothes of 1865 could weigh you down. But it's also just fucking cold. And I'm like, you could, if you were one of the people in the trees, dry your clothes in your treehouse and then put them back on and walk, right?
If you're a woman and you need to shed a petticoat, honey, you shed that petticoat.
Mm-hmm. Toss that shit.
I think getting rid of layers so you don't drown, 100%.
Yeah.
However, first of all, 90% of these people, I assume, are men since they're soldiers. They're men.
Right.
There's no need to be taking off your pants, my guy. Like, keep your pants on. Like, if you have a coat, maybe shed the coat.
Just a general rule for men all over. Keep your pants on.
Just keep your pants on. Like, exposing your penis to the mighty Mississippi after a shipwreck. Like, that's what we're gonna do. Can you imagine? Like, if I was a doctor in Memphis and these naked men are rolling into my hospital, I'm like, what was the thought process here, guys? now you have malaria on your penis. Right. Like, what am I supposed to do about that? It's 1865.
And like, fish bites and like there's animals in the water. There are creatures in the water.
It's cold. There's like you can get scratched.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if you're holding on in the river. Oh my God.
You also just then have nothing. Like at least if you have clothes, you can be like, ah, I'm injured. I can take this part off.
Right.
And put it on this part of my body and tie it and cut off this. You're like,
yeah.
If you have clothes, you have nothing because you also have no pockets. Like,
right.
Yeah. I don't know.
Like, I never want to judge people in crisis, but
it's true.
I would say this is not being handled well.
Yes.
So, like I said, they're naked. They've been sent to the hospitals. They're naked because they took off their clothes during the ordeal of surviving the elements of the Mississippi. In Memphis, they were given red long johns, much like thermal long underwear, which some of them wore as they wandered the streets of Memphis. Can somebody get a grip on these men? Just stay in your bed.
Just the image of like all these like Santa Clauses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like walking around. Because of course they're like they've also just been in prison camps.
Totally.
Like, it's not like they're like coming from a holiday and their ship got wrecked. Like they're not Rose and Jack. Right? Like these people are skinny, war-worn, disheveled, horrible looking people who then also just almost got exploded.
Right. And now they're like, I got my long johns on. I'm just going to take a walk. And I'm like, oh my God, guy, just enjoy laying in bed.
Uh-huh.
Enjoy the hospital. I can't imagine 1865 hospital is all that great, but it can't be worse than a Confederate prison camp. So, like, eat your stew and just take a load off. It's been a long night.
Heal from the cold water.
Heal. When they were well enough, the survivors were put on boats and sent north, where they finally made it home. The Sultana remained at the bottom of the Mississippi River. Yeah, she ain't going anywhere.
She ain't going anywhere.
Not after that explosion. Down she goes. Yikes McGikes.
So let's talk about the aftermath. What happened afterwards when things shook out from the sinking of the Sultana and Captain Mason's excellent decision to overload the boat?
Yes. Love it.
Love it. So it was discovered eventually that at least 1,800 soldiers and civilians had died, making it the worst maritime disaster in American history. The worst.
That's
like,
crazy.
I don't know that we've had another one that bad. Like, these are all, I mean, well, yes, yeah, you can split hairs so. About unions and Confederate soldiers or whatever, but essentially, like, these were all Americans.
Yeah.
In contrast, the Titanic sinking in 1912, by comparison, resulted in approximately 1,500 deaths. Like,
so this one still is the most.
Still the most.
Even after Titanic. Yeah. Crazy.
Crazy.
Crazy. All, yes. Even though they had, and because they had the same, they had roughly close to the same number of passengers.
Yep.
And it was probably, what, like a quarter of the Titanic size?
Yeah. Like, so, yes. Like, not.
The tugboat that, like, not, guided it out of the harbor. It's probably that size.
Probably that size. And all wood.
Mm-hmm.
Amidst the competing headlines of the South's elongated surrender and the assassination of Lincoln and the manhunt for John Wilkes Booth, the Sultana's catastrophe received surprisingly little news coverage.
I mean, I get it.
Nobody cared. That's the shocking thing, is that, like, 1,800 soldiers died in an exploding ship.
Yeah.
And nobody cared.
Right, but, like, think of the things that took focus.
It's, yes, the president.
I mean,
is
this
dead.
Is this is why I'm telling you, this is the worst time to be alive, when this does not make breaking news.
Right.
Because the Civil War is ending, the president of the United States has been assassinated at a play, and we have a massive manhunt for the guy that killed him. Which, yep. By the by, if you haven't listened to our episode on the assassination of President Abraham Lincoln, one of our best.
One of our best.
Top three.
Absolutely.
Top three. If you think we do assassinations well, just wait. Wait until you hear this episode on his assassination.
So good.
Which is neither here nor there. But yeah, that's how bad this time period was that a catastrophe such as 1,800 soldiers being brutally killed by a flaming, exploding ship is third page news.
Third page at best. A half-hearted investigation would place most of the blame on Captain Mason, who conveniently was not alive to point the finger at others.
Well, at least he died.
He died.
Truly.
He died. I mean, he's not like the dudes running the triangle shirtwaist factory.
Factory, yeah.
Who, like, all those women died in the fire. And not that I wish anybody dead, but my dude, like, that would have been a real pisser. Like, if he had made it to the tree.
Right. I do believe that at this time period, if he didn't die in the sinking, they would have killed him.
They would have killed him. Oh, yeah.
2 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. A war-weary public, eager to put all of the war and its tragedies behind them, soon forgot about the Sultana and its victims. So it's not even like they're so overwhelmed. They're just like, oh, my God. Like, can we not talk about the war tragedies anymore? It's like, I feel it's kind of like after Nam, right? Like when everybody came home from Nam and it was like, God, that was awful. Like, let's not talk about that no more.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it was like taboo almost.
Yeah. Let's not dwell on unhappy news. Like, it's too much.
It's too much. Too much. So here comes the really fun part.
Let's do it.
In 1982, a local archaeological expedition led by Memphis attorney Jerry O. Potter uncovered what was believed to be the wreckage of the Sultana.
Ooh.
Blackened wooden deck planks and timbers were found about 32 feet under a soybean field on the Arkansas side of the river, about 4 miles from Memphis.
What?
Yes, it's crazy.
That's wild.
The Mississippi River has changed course several times since the disaster, which put a pause in that because I did not realize.
Yeah, that you can like just change course.
Like, boop, gonna make a left.
I don't
like that about rivers.
Respect the mighty Mississippi. She does what she wants.
I don't like that about rivers. I don't want to be on a river.
Then don't
and
fuck
it
with the river.
Course. I don't want to fuck with a river.
That's what I'm saying. That's again my advice to people. If you think you can fuck with the river, if you think you can fuck with the Mississippi River, get
you
over
wrong.
Yourself.
You wrong.
Get a clue.
Mm-hmm. She, like, a ship blew up on her and she spat it out and changed direction.
Yeah. She was like, this is going to Arkansas. Bye.
Bye. So the Mississippi River changed course several times since the disaster in 1865, leaving the wreck under dry land and far from the Mississippi River. The main channel now flows about 2 miles east of its point in 1865.
Wow.
That's a far distance.
It's far. It's far. 2 miles is far.
It's far. So in 1982, we find this, what they think is probably the wreck of the Sultana. I mean, also, if it's not, what the fuck, what other shipwreck is it? Because that's...
Right,
it's
right.
It's amazing, I mean, in some way. It's amazing.
I'm pretty sure it's Sultana.
It's got to be the Sultana. The first meeting of survivors happened in the Midwest in December of 1865. So like right after.
Sure.
Like, they healed. They threw away the red long johns. And then they met up.
They're like, let's sing again.
Let's sing again. Kumbaya, good neighbor Tim, kumbaya. Then a Knoxville area group met in 1889, so a little while after, which apparently resulted in the marble marker at Mount Olive Baptist Church Cemetery. So they're putting plaques where, like, the things happened.
I can't believe they're having to put up their own plaques.
They're putting up their own plaques because nobody cared. It's so weird.
They're like, nobody cares that almost 2,000 people died and we survived. Oh. So here's this marble table in this cemetery in Knoxville.
In Knoxville. So then fast forward, like, 100 years, the Association of Sultana Descendants and Friends was formed in Knoxville and has met annually since that year, 1988.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, 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 wow.
Yeah. The monument to those lost on the Sultana was erected at the back of a church and to the right of Old Knoxville Highway, just across the Knox County line when driving towards Knoxville. That marker includes an image of the Sultana and indicates the following losses of life. So Ohio, 460. Tennessee, 365, Indiana, 352, Michigan, 243, Kentucky, 125, Virginia, 50, and Missouri, 2.
Wow.
Yeah. And an interesting little fact is that, I mean, if you think about those, the numbers of soldiers coming from these states, which are essentially Midwestern states,
mm-hmm.
a few Southern states, but not like South, but like right. Midwest or South. Is that most of the Civil War battles were fought in Virginia, Tennessee, and Missouri. Like, these soldiers were not coming from where the war was. I mean, obviously, they're going home. But they're not, the states where they're coming from are not the states where the Civil War was fought. They're going home.
They're going home. They're just trying to go home. Wow. What a crazy...
Isn't that a crazy story?
It's a crazy story. The fact that literally nobody's talking about this.
I know.
I want more expeditions. Where is the History Channel docuseries on this disaster?
There is. There is a documentary. There is a documentary. It was made in like 2002, I think, by two like Oklahoma dudes.
Shout out.
And now there is a museum, or they're like hoping to have a museum. They're raising money. And I think when I was looking, maybe they had like another $100,000 or $200,000 to go. But they're raising money to create a museum.
Wow.
Yeah, I like I kind of don't want to tell anybody about this disaster because this would make a great fucking film. Like,
writing movies.
Oh my God. All day, every day. I'm like, this would be a great movie.
This would be a good one.
This would be so expensive. This would be like James Cameron level expensive. Hell like yeah. James Cameron, Pearl Harbor.
Michael Bay, because the Michael explosion Bay, is yeah. problematic. But you get
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Well, thank you so much for this amazing surprise.
You're so welcome.
Just when I think, like attempted assassinations of presidents. Just when I think we've done them all, another shipwreck is brought to my attention.
Another ship. Wait, and did you also hear today that they found a 1907 submarine in the Long Island Sound? Yeah.
No. Send me that. Okay. Send me that article.
It's on your way.
Wow.
It's on its way to you.
You guys, we're in a renaissance of shipwrecks. That's what it feels like. But that is the end of our episode on the Sultana disaster. If you like what you heard, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Let's Get Civical. As always, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us. We love you so, so much, and we will see you next Wednesday.
Goodbye.